Well, I'm about out of time. But I'm planning on getting you out of here by 2 o'clock. So everybody be happy. Let me ask you, my folks on the back row, did I preach from up here last time you were here? Well, you can see I'm getting closer to heaven. I had a wonderful time last Sunday with the Giles family. If you don't know them, you ought to get to know them. They're smart, and if you want hard questions, Emily will ask them. If you want a quiet answer, Laura will smile. And they're smart people. They're good people. I am so thrilled to see you folks back with us. They are delightful to be around. And if I remember right, you preach, don't you, sir? Yes. And someday we'll have him bring a lesson. I wanted to say a couple of things before I get started. I know I'm short of time today, but number one, I received something from Don Lucas, and the sidewalk at the side here, there's some pitfalls and some problems with it, and you can talk to Don and Bob about what those are, and to make it short, they want to take the sidewalk out and this stoop out and then put it back, and it would cost $2,700. So you look at it, find out if that's what you want to do or whether you want to grind this down. And you think about that, talk with them about it. And there's some other things that need to be looked at evidently. So get with Don and get with Bob, because I don't know anything about that stuff and I don't want to know. I also wanted to say to you that if there's no objections, we're going to start having the kids, the boys, the older boys, start reading scripture here. And somebody said, well, they're not members. No, but they're going to be one day, and we need to train them up. So if you don't like that, lump it. I'm teasing you. If you don't like it, if you think there's something wrong with that, you let me know. I'm going to talk about the Lord. That's the most wonderful subject that I can talk about. I can't think of anything more important to talk about. We have started out with one church, and we have the unity. And the reason why we're in unity is because we do have one Lord. And that one Lord is above all. So here's my plan this morning. I want to go through just a few scriptures about the power of Jesus and who he is. And then I want to make 4 distinct points. Guess I got to turn this on. In Ephesians 4, 1 through 6, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in the one hope of your calling. And then I've put and read one Lord. That's because that's what we're talking about this morning. That one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And what this is all saying is, we are unified. We are in unity because of this oneness. It has taken everybody, male, female, I don't care, black, yellow, white, everybody, and makes us one. And in that oneness It takes away all the prejudice. It takes away all of the animosity that we've had. And he brought Jew and Gentile together, and Jew and Gentile couldn't get along. And God did something in such a marvelous way that he brought everybody together. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? So that's not the sermon. In Colossians 1, 13 through 17, he says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Let me ask you something. And I remember my mother saying this very well to me a long time ago. Mason, the universe does not revolve around you. But it does revolve around Jesus Christ. Why are you here? Because you're here for Jesus Christ. Why is this world here? It is here for Jesus Christ. Why is this universe here? It's here for Jesus Christ. Why is the spiritual world there? Because it's for Jesus Christ. This is the center of everything. And being the center of everything, I get tired of hearing the sermons about what you can and can't do, and I want to talk about Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to talk about. That's what every sermon is about. Every sermon goes to the death, burial, resurrection of Christ and his exaltation and what he has done, and then the things that we say you can do and you can't do, that's our response to God. That's our response to Jesus Christ for who he is. It's all about what he has done, and then our response is, this is how we're to live. So when you think about that, I want you to just think, we have been delivered from the power of darkness into the kingdom, and that kingdom was started a long time ago. If you talk to a Jehovah Witness, they say it started in 1914. Every time I study with them, I always say it started in 1935 when I was born. And they always ask, where in the world did you get that? And I said, the same place you got 1940. I made it up. There is a kingdom. There has always been a kingdom, but God had promised that there would be another kingdom to come, that he was going to turn this over to a perfect man. And that man is Christ Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 8, 5 and 6, for even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we live. Now I've heard sometimes how powerful Satan is. Let me tell you how powerful Satan is. He's not. I want you to get this. He's not. In fact, if you wanted to put it down, you can just write this down. He is the errand boy for Jesus Christ. People say, well, look what he did way back in Job. He didn't do anything back in Job. God said, Job says, if you take your hand away from him, and God says, I will. I'll let you do this. It was all the permission of God. He has to have permission from God to do anything. You know what? If the devil dropped dead today, sin would continue on, because we've been taught how to sin by each other. That's the terrible part of it. I've always said prejudice is not something that's ignorant. It's something that has been taught. We teach people these things. In John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Well, how can that be? Well, because if you remember, we tried to explain the Trinity. And that's a hard concept. Except there's a difference between a being and a person. In a being, if I look it over here, who is that? That's God. Who is that? That's God. Who is that? That's God. But if I take the person, his function is different than the other. You know, you are a human being, and I'm a human being, and you are a person, and I'm a person. We function differently. But as far as the height and everything, the brother. In Isaiah 9:6, a very powerful passage. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." That is a lot of weight. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful. What does that mean? I mean, there's no other name like it in the entire world or in the spirit world. There is no other name like the name of Jesus Christ. He is Wonderful. Why? Because of what he has done. Do you remember how we got here? And do you realize how much money is spent every year going to psychiatrists? Wow. He said he is the Counselor. If you need to get things straightened out in your life, get counseling from somebody that knows Jesus Christ so they can tell you what Jesus Christ says so that you can get your help that you need. Now, I'm not against psychiatrists, but I'll tell you, most psychiatrists are crazy. If you want to get a psychiatrist, get one that knows Jesus Christ. Because the greatest psychiatry you will ever have, he is the Counselor. He can tell you exactly what's right, what's wrong, what your problem is, how to fix the problem, everything. He can do that. The Mighty God. You know, when the Bible says that John the Baptist came, he was preparing the way for Jehovah. That's who he was preparing the way for. Jesus Christ is Jehovah. We sometimes think, whoa, you know, when you think about God, do you ever think about this? We are more comfortable with Jesus than we are the Father. And you know why? Because the Father, we can't identify with him the way that we can with a man. With Jesus Christ, I can identify with him. I can look at him and I can say, you know what? My God understands. My God understands well. When I think about God, Old Testament, oh, it's scary. But when I think about God in the flesh, what a God. What a mighty God. Everlasting Father. That's where I came from. Somebody says, can you pray through Jesus? Well, yes, you can. I recommend that you pray through to the Father through Jesus. But if you remember when Stephen was dying, he said, Lord Jesus, receive my... So he prayed to him. Yeah, you can. Prince of Peace. Isn't that a sweet message in a troubled time? Peace from Jesus Christ. I've got to hurry. In Romans 8:3, it says, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh." And what that means very simply is Jesus came here, and what we could not do, Jesus did. And God says that's sufficient. He paid it on the cross. He died and condemned sin in the flesh, and that's why we found in Romans 8, we don't have time to go all into all this. But that's why we find, he says, there is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Jesus did something so wonderful that God said, I can now look and not count the sin. And so Hebrews 2:14, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. You remember what the devil was called? He's called the adversary. And one of the things he could do is he had the power of death, in that God could not be just and the justifier of somebody unless payment was made. Jesus made that payment, and he defeated Satan. Satan doesn't have power anymore. As I said and ended my sermon last week or a week before, I said, when death comes up and says, I'm death and I want to talk to you, we can say, you can go to hell. It's done. Jesus beat them. So the first thing I want to talk to you about today is ownership, particularly the ownership of slaves. And nobody says, I want to be a slave. I'm going to tell you, the Apostle Paul says, I love being a slave of Jesus Christ. And we think about that slavery sometimes. Wouldn't you like to have this argument in the church? Jimmy Ray, I'm going to be your servant. And Jimmy Ray says, no, Mason, I'm going to be your servant. Brother and sister, I'm going to be your servant. No, I'm going to be your servant. And boy, that would be a wonderful fight. Each trying to be the servant of the other. The Apostle Paul said, I am a slave of Jesus Christ. And he was proud to be a slave of Jesus Christ. In 2 Peter 2:1, he says, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them. What did he do? He bought them. Who do they belong to? The one that bought them. And bring on themselves swift destruction. How did he buy them? Have you ever thought of that? How did he buy them? He came up and said, I want to buy Paige. I want to buy even Angela. The Apostle Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. What does he mean? He means, you know what? When I was baptized, I jumped on the cross. I was there and I was crucified with him. Did it hurt me? Well, it hurt to give up me. That always hurts when you give up me. I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Well, Paul, I thought you still existed. Well, you don't understand. I don't live as Paul. I live as a servant of Jesus Christ. I belong to him. Well, what about your right? I gave up my rights. I don't have any rights. I am a slave of Jesus Christ. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What a beautiful passage. What a beautiful life. That here he is saying, I want you to recognize, I don't belong to me anymore. I belong to him. Why? Because he got on a cross and he died for me and he was resurrected. And if you remember in Philippians, he also says that he is trying to get to the resurrection. That's getting out of this being an Adam, living in the flesh, and getting in to living in the new Adam, which is living in the Spirit. Wow, I like that. In Acts 20 and 28, to the elders at Ephesus, he says, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. What does that mean? It means very simply that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And the only blood that was good, the only blood that God would accept, the only blood that was acceptable is the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. Everybody says, you know what? What saves you? The religious world, and I'm talking about the Christendom, the blood of Christ. If you're a Baptist, if you're a Methodist, I don't care what you are. What are you saved? With, by the blood of Christ. Everybody knows that. Say, could you tell me how to get to it? What do you mean? Just believe and you're there. It's not what the Bible says. Right? It means we have to get to the blood of Christ. Oh. In Mark 8:34, he says, when he had called the people to himself as his disciples, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. If you believe in Jesus, you don't have to do anything. Jesus said, if you believe in me, you're going to have to pick up that cross. Now, guess what you do with that cross? You're carrying it around with you every day. What do you do with that cross? You crucify yourself. Paul said, I die daily. You know what? You got up this morning, and we got an extra hour sleep, so it wasn't too bad, but you get up Sunday morning and said, you know what? I'm going to go over there and sit on those hard seats and listen to some preacher for a long time. I'd just rather sleep. Get up. You're going to have to do what you don't want to do. And your flesh doesn't want to do it. You know, I've always said my speaking power is a lot greater than your sitting power. It's hard sitting there. I know it's hard. But you're here because you love the Lord. It's here because you have been saved. In Mark 10:29-30, so Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the gospel who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come eternal life. You know what? I look at all these children that are abused. And I can tell you right now, I'm not going to get finished today, but have you looked at the children that wake up every morning and they've got a mean mother and father? Have you looked at the children that suffer over and over and over and over, day after day after day after day? And they're really crying inside, I want a family. Brethren, this is the family. This is the family that if you've been abused, you can say now, I have mother and father. How are we to treat the older people like mother, like father? like brothers, like sisters. I've come here because I need relief from out there. And when you walk into a church and they don't love you, this is just like home. You get the seriousness of that. In Matthew 10:37, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Most of you know that this last year, I lost my daughter. And people say, how do you go through that? She's just on a journey. And I'm going to see her one day. But more than that, I'm going to see you. I've got a family here. I love my son, John. I lost my other son, Larry. And I've got one other daughter now. And as much as I love them, they're my family here. But I've got a greater family there. And if we love Jesus, we'll see them again. If we don't, we won't. Jesus has to be number one in your life because you were number one in his life. He came here for you. You know Ted Turner? Anybody know Ted Turner? I don't know if you know him, but after I've heard him, I don't want to know him. But Ted Turner said about Jesus, I didn't ask him to die for me. No, he didn't. But he sure missed something, didn't he? He's a successful man in that, boy, I'll tell you what. He owned a television. He got married to Jane Fonda. He got divorced from Jane Fonda. What's his purpose? What is it? What's his purpose? To run around goofy and say things bad about Christ? In Luke 9:57-60, now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Are you sure you want to follow me? It's going to be hard. If you think you had problems before, when you become a Christian, your problems just have started. You're going to be hated. You're going to be uncomfortable. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and preach the kingdom of God. You mean I can't even bury? If you put anything before me, you can't get there. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. As I said last week, I want you to get this. Everybody says, boy, when he went around, he was healing the blind, he was healing the sick, he was doing all that. Yes, he was. But why? And I think there's two main reasons. Number one, he wanted to show that he had come from God. And that proved it. But number two, he says, I'm going to take you out of this world to a place that there will be no blind. There will be no sick. There will be no problems. You're going to be in perfection. Because Jesus has made us perfect. What does it mean in 1 Corinthians 15? I'm going to stop right after this. What does it mean in 1 Corinthians 15? When he says there is a physical body and there is a spiritual body. What does that mean? I think it means very simply that here in this physical body, we've got a war going on. My physical and my spiritual, trying to get my soul. You see, I believe, don't say this is what it teaches. I believe that the soul is there to be taught by the spirit or by the flesh. And when the flesh says to the soul, hey, follow me, shut that other guy up. I said, okay. And we go that way, and then we hear the news, the gospel, and it says to the spirit, you need to be converted. You need to come alive. You need to hear this. And I say, man, I like that. I like that. That's wonderful. And now I'm going to teach my soul to say, shut up to the flesh. And when I have that spiritual body, all of that will be gone. I will be in complete agreement, and my spirit will lead me everywhere. That's a spiritual body. I wish I had time to go on, but I don't. And you don't have the time to sit there. But let that be the beginning, because I'm going to pick this up next week. It's just too important to leave. So be patient. And after I finish, I'll send all of you that want this so you can have the scripture. Do you realize that when Jesus said, are you tired? Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Rest to your soul. And if I get rest to my soul, I'll tell you I'm at rest. Do you realize how much God loves you? And if he loves you that much, that he would send his only son, only one like him, to die for you on the cross of Calvary, to suffer, to be humiliated. We do not have to try to talk people into getting baptized. Once they see what God has done for them, they'll say, God, I believe in you, and I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ. I want to repent. I'm not going to guide my life anymore. I'm going to let you guide it. And I want to reach the blood of Christ as I'm baptized into his death, according to Romans 6. And I want to start a new life and end up eternally with you. Won't you come while together we stand and sing?